Hello, fellow watch lovers, nerds, enthusiasts, or however you identify. You're listening to 40 and 20, the Watch Clicker podcast with your hosts, Andrew, and my good friend, Everett. Here, we talk about watches, food, drinks, life, and other things we like. Everett, how are you?
I'm terrific. I am not pumped about the weather. The weather has just gone from, like, this is great fall to, like, it's gotten a little colder.
It's turned to like shit early winter.
It's shit early winter. That's right.
So, and it looks yucky because all the leaves are falling and it's just like soggy leaves everywhere and just icky outside.
Yes, that's right. So I know we still have some good fall left, but this last, like today in particular, I was like, this is shit fall. This is, I don't like this. And it kind of, it does, it brings my mood down a little bit, I would say.
It was 90 degrees on Monday where I was.
It was Andrew, how are you?
Pleasant. I'm good. I made it through a week of Southern California without a sunburn.
Oh, that is impressive.
That is perhaps one of the greatest achievements of my life. I did wear a sun shirt every day, so that is,
that'll help.
That's, you know, partly to attribute that to it, but I also sunblocked with great regularity. I applied my first layer when I woke up. Like, I showered, I dried off, and applied a layer of sunblock at 6 o'clock in the morning, and then just kept it up. I made it through a whole week, no sunburns.
Well done.
Yeah, I feel good about that. Well done. Up to and including, you know, time spent at the pool, no sunburns. Not even the weird, like, line. You're like, how did I miss that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, well done.
Yeah, I feel good about it.
Well, and Disney treated you. Disney treated you all right,
as well as to be expected. I was a little hobbled up still, and just own pace and distance. That was the motto: own pace and distance. Chugging along, kept up with the kids, and they had a blast. That's what matters.
You are maybe like not the perfect personality for Disney.
No.
It does.
No. That was very, very politely and delicately put. No, that's not my jam at all. But my kids are. My wife is.
Yeah.
And as a result, so too am I. And I enjoy myself. I like the scenery. I like the food. I had a really fantastic shrimp po' boy at the Tiana's restaurant.
Okay.
And they had fantastic red beans and rice, like proper Cajun flavored red beans and rice. And I was like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah, they do real food.
Plenty of real food, and like, but also plenty of it just kind of sucks.
Did you have Dole Whip?
I did not, but sweets don't really do it for me.
Did you have a turkey leg?
I did not have a turkey leg.
Did you have a churro?
I had many churros. We also got junk churros.
What's a junk churro?
That's what my kids call them. It's churros with junk on top.
Okay. Junk churro.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought maybe that was like a bootleg.
No. It's churros with shit on top.
Okay. And by shit, you mean like Nutella and bananas and...
And chocolate chips and marshmallow spread. And yeah, they refer to everything that has things added to it as junk.
Yeah.
So like walking tacos, they call it junk chips. And sure. Bibimbap is junk bowls and... Just a bunch of shit. A
junk potato.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's the. I've trained them well.
Can I get some junk chili?
Yeah. So they, we had some junk churros. What else did I have? I had the birria tacos. And Mark.
And by birria, do you mean birria?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, I don't hablo. What do you want from me here? We know this about us.
There is a place here local, Andrew. It's a truck. I'm going to find it and take you one day. They have a case of birria. That will change the way you look at the world.
Mark had the birria ramen.
Ooh, yeah.
Which was fantastic.
There's a birria ramen at the Korean place downtown.
There is, and I've never gone. Because I know what it's going to be. It's going to be ramen with consomme. And the consomme, as good as it is it's just too much.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's just too much, even if you cut it.
Yeah.
But he had it. He enjoyed it. What else do we have? We had a lot.
You had a lot, yeah.
Just constant. Food is fuel in that kind
green,
of environment.
Green milk?
Blue milk. They don't like the green milk for some reason. Right. So plenty of blue milk. We just, you know, did our thing and I just chugged along.
What is blue milk?
I'm sure exactly what it is. So it's a Star Wars reference.
Sure. But the drink.
I don't know what's in it. It says it's like soy and some other kind of like milk, but it's really sweet and it's got like a texture to it, almost like it's got shredded coconut or something in it, like some kind of fibrous thing.
And is it flavored? Is it like specifically flavored or is it?
It tastes blue.
Okay.
It's unlike anything I've ever had. Like I wouldn't even try to venture to recreate it because it's so unusual, but it just like, I don't know, it works. It's like it's just a blue smoothie with some kind of junk in it.
Well, we missed you last week. It was good having Will on the show, but I missed you. I missed you mostly when I was struggling to do the intro.
But you got in and out of the house fine. Gave me a fucking heart attack. My blink went off as you were leaving, and I just saw like a dude trying to get into my front door. And I was like, are you kidding me right now?
Gone for a day. Yeah, that was me.
Yeah, it was you. I texted you.
it's funny that, you know, at this point, like 370 times, I've heard you do the intro and I don't know it. I had to go back and listen.
Because you don't listen to me when I talk.
I do. But do you, I mean, could you do the outro like first take?
Yeah. And I often take over for you when you have a brain fart.
I don't, maybe it's just the way my brain works. Yeah. I had to go back and listen because I was like,
not my shift, not my problem kind of mentality.
Yeah. I mean, as I sit here right now, no clue what it is. I just heard you do it 5 minutes ago. Couldn't do it. If you paid me, I couldn't do it.
We spent hours brainstorming that. Hours.
And the intro, I don't think, has changed at all. The outro's changed, but I don't think the intro has changed at all.
Just when we became
the Watch Clicker podcast, yeah. Well, in any event, we're here to actually talk about watches because that's what we do.
Sometimes.
I don't know if you saw my messages to you, my responses to your watch selections.
Oh, I didn't even look.
I thumbs downed all your selections that we've already talked about.
I didn't thumbs down any of yours that we've already talked about.
But it's because we haven't talked about
we
mine.
Did not. You're wrong about one of these.
Which?
You're wrong about the Studio Underdog and Messina Lab.
No, we talked about it. Will and I talked about it at
length. I didn't.
Okay, I mean, you can talk about it. I'm just saying.
I'm not going to then.
Well, I'm just saying.
I wondered why I was getting texts, but I wasn't seeing new links, and I was like, whatever.
It's just me happening. Thumbs down.
But we've talked about the worn and wound and Timex.
No. Field watch. No, we have not. This is brand new.
We've talked about this.
We have in our text thread, but we have not on the show.
Are you sure?
I am, because it was embargoed until about 3 days ago.
Oh, that's why we haven't talked about it on the show. So that's the thing. Guys, we're important. We get embargoed stuff and we talk about it at length, not in front of microphones. And I'm never really sure what's real and what's not.
Why don't you lead us off?
I'm going to lead us off with, this is exactly when I start. I want to start with a Bulgari release that
I like the way you say it makes it sound like it's a person named Bill Gari.
Yeah.
Hey, Bill.
Well, it's not Bulgari.
Mr. Gari.
It's Bulgari.
Bill.
Bubba. Bubba Gari. Bulgari's release of the Bronzo GMT 104241. And I have to say, this is exactly what I would expect from Bulgari. How do you want me to say it?
I think you're fine. I'm just...
I've heard it said many ways.
I think it's Bulgari.
Okay.
Which is not, more or less how Bulgari. You said it. Bulgari.
Okay, Bulgari. Not Bilgari. Bulgari. We'll pass through the pronunciation class. We'll get hooked on phonics one of these days, folks.
I think you were basically right. It just sounded like you were talking about a person.
I'm talking about a brand. Okay, so this release, it has all of the makings of something really, really great. It's this beautiful bronze case, bronze-colored aluminum. Oh, hang on. Let me make sure I get this right. It is a 40-millimeter case, black rubber bezel in a bronze-colored case, and it is stunning. this color combination, this bronze and black, the material combinations of rubberized against the steel with this kind of, I don't know how you describe that end link, kind of integrated rubber end link into the case, which is kind of integrated, but kind of not. It's kind of like a rounded integrated link. It's fascinating. A black crown on it. It's money. It's got a great GMT hand. The fonts are money. An internal 24-hour ring. And then they just shit the bed and roll around on it with this huge Bulgari logo wing on the bezel. Like, what?
Well, that's what they always do.
I know it's what they always do, but this has all the makings of being a really cool watch. And at $5,000, you're getting a B192, which is based on the 2893 movement, a good GMT that just falls apart at the bezel. Everything else about this watch, I'm even okay with the logos on the strap. I love this. This color combination is great. The material combination is awesome. I wish they would just, I didn't even accept just a sterile bezel.
You know, the Serpenti and the Octa Finissimo don't have this, but I think that this is sort of like Bulgari's. Yeah,
I know it's their thing. I just wish it wasn't because I like everything else about this
watch. I actually really like the bezel here. I think Bulgari kind of owns it in a way that is attractive to me. It's tacky. And if it was Aviate or, you know, pick your brand. It doesn't, if it was Citizen, maybe, you know, it wouldn't work. I think that Bulgari, there's something about the way that they do it that I'm okay with. It gets a pass from me, honestly.
It's a bummer for me. I want to, in the way of practicality and function, I mean, this as a style accessory or a piece of jewelry, chef's kiss. But in functionality, it's just like, give me a 24-hour bezel.
You know, I know that this is sort of their thing, but I am always like amazed by the fact that this bezel is made out of rubber. Mm-hmm. And I don't know like long term how that wears. I haven't ever seen an old one, so maybe that's something I need to look at. But I think this is really great. I'm with you that it looks really good. I don't mind the bezel treatment. I'm always at Bulgari. It's like the aluminum version of this has the black rubber and aluminum. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what other brand could release an aluminum and rubber watch and have us be like, ooh.
$5,000. Yeah. Timex.
Yeah, right. maybe. And it would be $300. This is cool. I think it's a cool watch. I've got another sort of design house watch, Andrew. Ooh. This is a watch from Ralph Lauren. Now, Ralph Lauren.
It's Lauren.
Ralph Lauren has a number of, like, the Polo branded watches, you know, watches that are sort of fashion watches, white label type of things. And they're by and large not great, right? These aren't watches that we're going to get excited about, or at least I'm going to get excited about. This watch is a little different. So their Ralph Lauren's Western watch collection is a series of really fucking cool watches that are released in 925 sterling silver and I think it's 18 karat solid gold. And they're released in this vein of treatments that Ralph Lauren does. So these are a Piaget movement, hand engraved case work, hand engraved leather work. Everything's done by artisans, precious metal cases. These watches are really fucking cool. And they're expensive, right? So I think
the treatment the dial gets in this turquoise that gives it almost an already occurring patina stands out against the sterling so well.
So that is the story here, is that Ralph Lauren has released these cushion. They've released the cushion case Western watch collection in a turquoise dial. And at first glance, it's like, oh, it's a Tiffany. No, it's a turquoise stone dial, and it just like it, it's almost like, how did this didn't exist before? Because it feels like that this is the dial that this watch was made for.
Yes, this looks like what you'd expect Grandpa wearing a bolo tie and a big ass turquoise buckle to be wearing.
I want this watch.
Yeah,
I want it in sterling. They're 25,000. So we don't know how much these ones are. They're 25,000 for the regular sterling cased versions of these. So it's a little outside of my price range. But these things are so
splash
freaking cool. Interesting on these, and I don't know the collection all that well, but on these specifically, you've got Roman numerals at 1, 2, 4, 5, 7, 8, 10, 11, but you've got Arabic numerals at 12, 3, 6, and 9 at the Cardinals. And the Arabic font is phenomenal. Phenomenal. I don't love the handset. That's the only thing that I'm sort of like, take it or leave it. Everything else about this, it's like gaudy in a way that just makes me so happy.
The handset is almost too refined for the rest of it. That looks very, like, though very sophisticated, it's also still very rugged. Even with this hand engraving, like it looks like workwear almost. And the handset does not. It looks elegant versus...
And I'm not sure which handset would be appropriate, but which would be... I hear what you're saying. You're right. And I agree with you. I'm not sure which handset would be more appropriate, but it feels like there is something that'd be more appropriate.
Some high polished swords.
These are so good.
Yeah, these are money. Oh, I saw two cool watches this week.
Yeah.
On wrists. I didn't get a chance to get close enough to either of those people to address it. I saw a Skirfa Belldiver 1.
Cool.
Which I recognize at a distance because that Skirfa logo, I was like, I know that watch. And I saw a Zenu 50.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I would like a Zenu 50.
Yeah.
I actually want a T50.
Yeah, I saw it at, like, I just immediately saw, like, I recognized the dial at a distance. And I was like, oh, I know what that is.
Nice.
Well, because it has such
it's super recognizable.
It's so recognizable. And then I saw the crown placement. And I was like, I know exactly what we're looking at here. Baller.
What's next?
A Christopher Ward C1 Belcanto Lumiere. Where does one even start? This watch looks directly out of Tron, right down to the loom on the strap.
Tron watch.
Every, like, I'm counting 1, 2, 3 unique different colors of loom. The way this loom backlights this minute repeater on the dial is stunning. This is a watch that, like, I would just carry around a UV light all the time to just constantly be charging.
Blow it up.
Just constant charge the loom. Because I don't give a shit what it looks like without loom. It looks fine. It looks blue with white. It's fine. Loomed up is pure Tron. The loom, like, concentric circles, like linear circle around the dial.
Yeah, the sort of off-center radial
treatment. Yeah, the radial is the word I'm looking for. And then an inner green line and this, the actual, like, clock part of the watch at that 12 o'clock has its own circle of loom.
Timekeeping?
Yeah, but the rest of it's like why is this word eluding me?
I think that you're pulling an Everett, which is to say, not finding common words. I don't know which word you're looking for. The chiming movement?
Yeah, the chiming complication. Those are the two words that I'm looking for. takes up 80% of this dial, and then your timekeeping function is just kind of in, like, you know, the top third of your dial. It has a whole different color of loom on it. It is straight Tron. It's so cool. And it's a Belcanto, right? We know everything about this watch that we need to talk about, but holy cannoli.
I really like the 3D printed globalite
ring on the... So the one thing that they've done away with here is any sort of indications for the time. So this is, you're not going to be able to keep time at quite as accurately as you would with prior iterations of this.
But you know what? When you're wearing this watch, I don't think you're super worried about what time it is.
I mean, it's an art watch. I would say it's almost difficult to suggest that it's anything different. So I'm with you. I think that this is perfectly acceptable. I love this watch. I think it's great. It does come with a glow-in-the-dark rubber strap,
which I think is, this is one of the first times that I'd say buy this watch on the strap.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I would probably want to have a Bader bracelet with this for like daily wear, but I'd also, you need to have the strap for this.
Yeah.
I think.
It's wild.
So look at the picture. We could talk about this all day. I think, well, I'm a yay on this. It is 4840 on rubber or 5200, depending on roughly 5200, 5300, depending on which strap you get it on or bracelet you get it on. I'm just yeses. I'm a yays
all the way across the board.
I think this is so cool. I love that Christopher Ward is, they're not the only ones doing this, but they're one of a small handful of brands that is like doing horology things and also like not taking themselves too seriously. It'd be really easy for a brand like Christopher Ward to say, well, we've got to pretend to be something we're not, right? Because we're doing this, we're doing horology in a way that these fancier, more stuffy brands are doing. So when we're doing this, we should be stuffy. And they're like, no, we're still going to do this cool.
Mm-hmm.
I just love it. I love what even to the extent, even more so than I love the watch, I love what the release means for the way Christopher Ward is doing watches.
I mean, the last time we talked about, well, our last episode, we talked about a no bullshit specced out tool watch from Christopher Ward. And now we're talking about a high horology luxury complication from the same brand. Like the spectrum that they can span and effectively work in is really impressive.
I talked about this watch in a Discord group. It's not a watches Discord that I'm on. And a handful of people that are on that Discord are sort of into watches, but they're into watches not perhaps like I am. These people are not, I believe, part member of watches Discords, or at least by and large, they're not. And I think that there was a little bit of shitting that was going on. And it made me just realize, like, oh, this is like, A, these people don't think about watches quite the same way I do, which is fine. I don't think about watches the right way. I just think about watches the way I do.
A way.
But the other thing was like, oh, this is a watch that is really meant for like a part for me. This is a watch that's meant for me. Yeah. Maybe with a little bit more disposable income. Me in 10 years.
Yeah.
I just think it's great. This watch really tickled me.
Love it.
Timex that we didn't talk about last week on the show, though we did talk about it off the show, released with Worn and Wound. I believe this is the fourth version of their Timex and Worn and Wound field watch. Much like prior releases, this is a Arabic numeral field watch. This is a sector dial. It's got two different colorways, a blue and a gray. Both of them are terrific, but slightly different than what's been. There's one big twist here, maybe more of a tilt than a twist. The Arabic numerals are italicized, and they kind of in Worn and Wound's write up about this, they sort of joke about that like it's a single keystroke.
that got them there. But this just works so well. So the details are, this is the same exact case, same exact crystal, which is to say, and this is an excellent case. I think it's 12-2 with the bubble crystal and like sub-9 before you get to the crystal. 37 millimeter field watch case, very traditional field watch, hand wound, seagull movement. Talking to Mike this week, he made the comment that these movements are very ugly, and I believe that he's correct. But it doesn't matter because it's a hand wound movement that's probably going to work fairly well. That's going to be easy to replace and or repair if you need to. And they have these big, bold Arabic numerals for 1 through 12, and they're italicized, and it just works so well. I love this release. $299.
There's the one. $300. Love it. Right, this is a Warner Wound and Timex collaboration. Good colorway, good font choices. It's just all around good.
So the only other watch that immediately comes to mind for me with this type of numeral is the Seiko Mac V Sog, or at least one version of that Seiko 5 Mac V Sog. It's the only other watch that immediately comes to mind as having used this, as being famous for this italicized font. This is obviously a little bit different. In that watch, the numerals are really pushed to the outside. I don't think there's a 24-hour track on that watch. And those watches are terrific. Those are the, I believe, Seiko 5 Sportmatic. Very hard to get in good condition these days. If not, nigh on impossible. This is not that. This isn't a Mac V Sog. But it's sort of like, there's a little bit of appeal there. There's like, it's sort of got a bit of a, if you know, you know. I think that was my take on this, that there was a bit of a, if you know, you know on this, which maybe not, either way. So the blue is called Whirlpool. It's a great blue. But the Storm, I think, is the winner of these two. This is a dark gray on light gray with the Sector, but then it's got this like teal, this like sort of light blue accent, dark blue hands and red accents. It's just great. It is really, really good. In fact, I feel like I might have to try to pre-order these one.
Yeah, that's a really good color combination in that gray.
This every time, so they're making 500 per color. Every time they release this watch, I think I feel that way. This is a release that I think is just drop after drop. They do a great job with this. I'm really high on this watch. I'm high on the last four releases or the last three releases of this as well. I think this is really cool.
Hey, Timex, if you're listening, we could do some cool stuff too. Definitely as cool as this gray.
Yeah. And I will say this is my favorite of these.
Yeah.
You know, the other ones have baton markers and they're great. They're great. But this is my favorite of these by far.
Yeah, it's a good one.
What's next, sir?
Ooh. A fun...
Did you just toot?
No, that was my tummy grumbling.
Oh, okay.
We did surf and turf for dinner. I did butter poached cod and I sous vide a T-bone.
Love that.
So I have dauphinoise potatoes, some crispy Brussels sprouts. My tummy's a little grumbly.
Sounds delicious.
It was yummy. Something exciting for a brand that we don't talk about all that often, but I know we both like Norcane. Norquan? I don't know. You've been on me about pronunciations. Norcane has just inked a deal to be the official timekeeping sponsor of the National Hockey League, which is kind of wild when you think about the size of Norcane as a independent brand and the National Hockey League, which spans two countries and plays globally. And has a like an annual revenue in the billions of dollars. So Norcane and the NHL are now official partners, which is awesome when you think about these other big brands who are official timekeeping sponsors of, or official watches of other professional sports leagues. To see a brand like Norcane putting their elbows out and holding space is pretty neat.
I think one of the founders from Norcane
is a former NHLer.
Okay, that is confirmed. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, Mark, I can't remember what his last name is. He was in the NHL.
Straight?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. I don't know if he was in the NHL for a long time or if he had any goals or anything, but I know that he was...
He's played more NHL time than me.
That's right. That's right.
There's a cool picture of Sidney Crosby in a Norcane. And for the first year, they're going to do... the inaugural two games, they're going to do an 18-karat gold, one-of-a-kind Norcane Wild for the MVP of the game, which is cool.
That's cool.
But neat to see a small independent...
I mean, I wouldn't call Norcane a small independent.
Relative to like LVMH, sure, or...
of course.
You know, take your pick of other big brands who have national sports leagues partnerships.
Fair enough. I would say that like Norcane is a mid-size independent.
Okay.
That would be my take. You know, I don't know, like compared to Nomos, perhaps. I kind of put them... in my mind, they're sort of in the same world. Nomos might be bigger, though.
Does Nomos have a National Sports League partnership?
Yeah, well, not in the United States, not that I know of.
Yeah. We have Breitling. We've got Tag Heuer.
Breitling's independent.
Okay. We have Tag Heuer. We've got Rolex. We've got Omega. All these mega brands.
No, okay.
With league affiliations.
Point well made. But it's not like John Ferreira Brew, although that could happen.
He's the official watch of Pac-Man. He has a Pac-Man.
Speaking of Nomos.
Official watch of Starbucks.
Speaking of Nomos, Nomos just released 3 Tangente Neomatics.
We've been talking about the Tangente Neomatics a lot.
An 18-karat gold. An 18-karat gold and... Nope. I disagree wholeheartedly. The ruthenium. Okay. So there's 3 dials. 2 of them are white. One of them has blued hands. One of them has gold hands. And then there's a ruthenium dial with gold hands. And I think this might be my dress watch, Andrew. I think I might try to get these as my dress watch.
I can see it. It's sort of the perfect dress watch. It's elegant without being like delicate.
Mm-hmm.
It's really subtle, but it's beautiful. It's perfectly sized. It's 6.9 millimeters thick, 35 millimeter case. It's just perfectly sized.
And these are 18 karat 3N gold. They've each got a galvanized dial. They're white silver plating and black printed numerals on the classic and Dore, or black ruthenium plating with gold printed numerals and markings, ruthenium on the ruthenium dial. Now the ruthenium dial is a ruthenium The ruthenium dial has this black plating, but it's not like jet black. Mm-hmm. It's not like abyss glossy black. Rather, it's this sort of like matted.
I think it's because that's the color of ruthenium.
Well, this thing is crazy. It almost looks like brown in some lights. It's
look, that's a chunk of unrefined ruthenium. That's
well, there you go. It is.
I had to look it up because I was unfamiliar with that metal.
Gorgeous. Is gorge.
Do be aware, buyer beware. This I don't notice this warning on any of the materials from Nomos. Ruthenium can oxidize explosively at high temperatures, and its compounds can be highly toxic. I don't know what high temperatures are for ruthenium. I can't imagine that you would be able to wear it to that temperature, but as a heads up, it it can oxidize explosively.
If you're, this is not a reentry watch.
No, it would appear not.
Not space certified.
Yeah. So all these guys on the moon mission next year, don't wear this Nomos Neomatic Tangente.
And they're 13 grand.
Yeah, they're spent.
Which, well,
but they're,
I was 13 grand. I'm like, well, I don't, that's, I mean, that's a lot of money, but it's an 18 karat gold watch. This was the picture that I was like, oof.
That guy's wrist looks better than your wrist, though.
Well, yeah, he's tan.
I've seen a lot of handsome, I've seen a lot of swimsuits that I look at and I'm like, man, I'd look good in that. And then I order them and they get here and I'm like, I do not look like that guy.
Yeah, but I could. I've got a nice wrist. I can pull. I've got you good. Do. I got you quality wrists.
You do have good, nice, delicate wrists.
Delicate, jeez. What's next, Dick?
Oh, where is my link? Here it is. Tissot, another iterative release on the PRX. Powermatic 80, a Damascus steel dial.
Not just a Damascus steel dial, a Damascus steel watch.
Yeah. All of it.
Damascus.
All of it. What? You don't... And the buckle? All of it. And we've seen Damascus applications in the past. I can't think of any, like nothing comes right immediately top of mind. I just
think
know
of a Damascus midcase.
Maybe I haven't seen that.
Not off the top of my head.
I know I've seen Damascus dials before. Here's what really blows me away though. $1,175. Damascus is not either particularly hard or easy to produce, but it's certainly harder than just a steel midcase. And for $1,100, $1,200 on, I think the PRX platform is really cool for this because it kind of, the shape and angles of it is really in contrast to the natural flow that you see in Damascus steel. So it creates this really interesting flow of the case and the dial with the hard angles of the watch. And it's really, really lovely.
Now, I won't say that I know a lot about Damascus. I know like a YouTube amount about Damascus steel, which is to say very little. Although I've seen people make it.
You just mush it a bunch and fold it and mush it. It's like making sourdough as I just stretch and fold and stretch and fold.
This appears to me to be like maybe a 6 or 7 fold Damascus. It's not like a crazy amount of folds went into this. But I think the thing that I was considering here is that this isn't 316L steel, or at least it's not completely 316L steel. This is different kinds of steel. So I would think that there would be tooling and finishing considerations with this that they'd have to be taken. So there's more that meets the eye here. In terms of complexity, I think on
there's
this.
not a grain bill for
they don't give us
we're
that.
Looking at here.
Yeah, they don't give us one. Yeah. I did even try to look just very briefly. I think it's cool and I think that it's fun and I just don't see anything to dislike about it. The only thing I would be concerned about would be like rust or oxidation over time.
You know they're not using things that are going to oxidize. They might age at different rates. Like you might see really interesting patina patterns.
Does say they're both stainless. So there's got to be a difference in carbon levels.
It's probably 316 and 914.
Or something. Who knows? Yeah. There's got to be a difference in carbon levels in order for them to get the different tones on this. But it's a cool watch. I don't know if rust would be a problem, but it could. That's something that it's potentially an issue long term.
Dig it.
I'm with you.
I love what Tissot's doing with the PRX.
Yeah, it's like just such a perfect model for them to do whatever the fuck they want to, right?
All of it, yeah.
I think, Andrew, I'm running out of watches before you. This is my last watch of the night. This is a watch. I actually had to like get a little into the weeds on this because I was like, what is going on? So this is the Zerich Omnigraph Automatic.
And this looks like, well, it looks like a slide rule. And there's a reason for that. It's intended to look like a slide rule. Zurich is a brand certainly we've talked about on the show. I don't know how much, but some. But it's not a brand that I've ever like seen one of their watches and I was like, holy shit, that's awesome. I need it. But this one really caught my eye.
Oh, interesting.
So a couple interesting things. One, this looks very much like a vintage, one of the round vintage slide rules that you'd see like in an engineering desk or something. All the way down to the hands on this thing, which are sort of clear plastic, and they are made to look almost exactly like a vintage slide rule. So I start looking at this watch and I'm like, well, okay, how does the slide rule work? Because it's just a single crown. It's not a slide rule.
At all.
It's not a slide rule.
It's not even kind of. They just... They perfectly like duped the look and made a super functional, like an easy reader watch. Like this is the kind of watch you get your kid to help them learn to tell time.
That's right. So you've got a bunch of different rings. So the inner ring, you've got like just 5 minutes. And then the second ring, you get Roman numeral time. And then the third ring, you get these, big and small Arabics, big at the hour and small at the half hour. The fourth ring, you get a digital time, but there's actually a separate...
In five-minute increments,
you get a separate full readout, 10:15, 10:30, 10:45, and that hand, that minute hand, will line up with the appropriate time. And then you go all the way out and you get a really granular breakdown on the seconds where the second hand is going to cross. And it's automatic. So you're going to get broken down into, I think it's half seconds. This is just terrific.
How much is this?
It's not.
The Miyota 9039 movement. It should
be all that expensive.
Under 1,000.
Yeah, let's see.
That brass dial.
It's a Kickstarter, and I did have it up earlier, but then I closed it, and so now I'm having to pull it back up, and my internet's giving me some grief. But we'll get there. OMG.
So they're funded.
Did you find a price here?
Back this project. $500.
There you go.
This turquoise is really good. So is the brass. They're, every single dial color of this is really fun.
I think the only one I don't like, well, there's two of them. I don't like the blue tan. I don't like the black and the blue tan. Both of those are sort of too busy for me. But then the cream I think is great.
Because it looks like a worn slide rule.
That's right. The mint blue is terrific. The mint white is terrific. The salmon is terrific. The white blue is like, hoo-wee. Dang. I think it's great.
Yeah, the full lume on the turquoise is cool.
I think this is such a great...
The salmon. Like, it looks brass to me. I wouldn't call that salmon, but...
Well, yeah, that's what they're calling it. But yeah, it's like a brass, like a...
Reconsider your naming conventions.
I just think this is such a cool, the handset's actually, I said plastic, but it's a laser cut sapphire, no bracelet on this, of course, 5 atmospheres of water resistance, Miyota 9039, which is a great choice.
Fine with all of it.
I didn't see a thickness dimension, but I think it's going to be probably 11 and a half or 12 and a half, somewhere in there.
It looks like it's about that.
It's a big watch. It's a 40mm watch.
I think this guy's a wrist model because that's the same wrist you showed me.
You think so?
I'm pretty confident. The vein is telling.
This thing's all dial.
Oh yeah, there's no. The only reason there's a bezel there is for something for the
to catch the crystal
right, yeah, to suction against.
Yeah. I think this is a really cool watch, and I was pumped to talk about it.
These are fun.
I think I almost like it better than if it were a slide rule.
Much.
I wouldn't say much. I mean, because I thought it was kind of cool when it was a slide rule, but
it's cute if it's a slide rule. This is super functional.
Yeah, I think this is really fun.
And it looks super complicated. Like it looks like a Navitimer or a Nighthawk or some kind of high aviator instrument watch. And it's just not. It just tells you the time. It's like a Meister Singer. You'd only get the time more accurately than a Meister Singer, arguably. But that's all you get.
This is really cool.
I like it.
You got any more watches?
I do, but I close the links because I don't care about them enough.
Oh my gosh. You guys are finding us in rare form.
It was an interesting like 2 weeks of watches where there weren't very many release. All the brands are kind of taking a breath after all the big shows. They're kind of powering down for their own personal enjoyment of the holidays. And then they're going to get back at it in January to have a big stop in February for a while.
Well, if you're done with watches, then other things. What do you got?
Oh, I do have another thing. This is a subscription that we've had for a while. It's called BarkBox. Are you familiar with BarkBox?
Uh-uh.
So it is a tiered subscription platform for pet stuff.
Okay. Have you talked about this on the show before?
I don't think so. But I number one, I suck at going to the pet store to buy toys for my dog. Because I just don't ever think about it. Or I don't want to do it. I don't want to go make a special trip just to go buy dog toys or dog treats.
Mini Pet Mart.
Yeah. But I don't do that because I don't want to stop. And so we have the subscription. We pay like 10 bucks a month and we get a box. Now it's a bag. It's a recyclable bag that we get delivered every other month. It comes with seasonal toys. So today a bag came. It has a two-part pull-apart toy that looks like a can of cranberry sauce with a red squeaky toy on the inside of the plush that is the cranberry sauce inside the can. And then a plush turkey that you can stuff treats inside of. Like three bags of treats. It's almost too many treats because we don't want to make our dog fat. He's pretty dense as it is, but not fat yet.
He's not fat. He could get there.
He could get there. He has the potential.
He has the potential.
He's a vacuum. I don't know if Sam warned you. Don't leave food down or out. He won't take people food, but dog food, sucking it right up. But it's fantastic. If you've got dogs and you don't like going to the pet store, like I don't like going to the pet store, it's great because it just shows up at your door. You don't have to think about it. You're like, oh man, these toys are getting all ragged. And then there's just new ones right there.
Well, I need to do that because he destroyed all of Larry's toys.
Did he suck all the stuffing out of them?
Yes.
Yep.
And they're even like the ones that are like indestructible.
Oh yeah. No,
he's like, I see you.
I see challenge accepted. he has yet to get the kind of pine cone shaped Kong. Mm. He has yet to tear that apart. Everything else he can
get just through. Destroyed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His rope is just ribbons. He doesn't eat the ropes anymore. He's had some consequences associated with stringy poops, but
yeah.
Yeah.
He brought Kim a like a rubber bouncy ball, like yay. Mm-hmm. And he like brought it to her and like set it down for her. And she was like, oh my gosh, good dog. We were both like, oh, like
He ate that one rock and he's like, ooh, learned.
That was a bad idea.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. He doesn't eat things anymore.
We both had the same. We like looked at each other like, oh my gosh, we touched a bullet there.
Yeah. He's a good dog. He doesn't eat people stuff. He did pull some stuffing out of a pillow, but he didn't damage the pillow. He like one of the kids had unzipped it.
He was just very gentle.
He just so delicately sucked stuffing out of the pillow. But yeah, BarkBox, it's an inexpensive.
How much is it?
I think we do like a $10 a month subscription. Let me
look. You've at the tiers here. You've got like levels.
There's tiered subscriptions. So let's see. We have. I can't find it right now. I don't know how much I pay. It's a forgettable amount of money to just have dog treats and toys delivered to my house every other month. It's fantastic.
I love it.
That's my other thing.
I've got another thing, Andrew, and we talked about this before the show, and you said, are you going to be that your other thing? And I said, I don't know. So all that to say, I got this may be just a slight degree of trepidation for this one, because I don't think that we've ever talked directly on the show about like tobacco or nicotine use, certainly not as another thing. Is that fair to say?
We've talked about pipes quite a bit.
Okay, we have talked about pipes. This is an interesting one because it's something that I had never really heard of. Andrew had heard of this and, in fact, had experienced this in another country. But I think in Europe, this is more popular than it is here. The other thing, for my other thing for this week is snuff, specifically tobacco snuff.
The Poles call it sneezing tobacco.
Sneezing tobacco, that's perfect.
Yeah.
And when I say snuff, I don't mean like snus or, you know, like a pouch or, there's two types of snuff, right? There's like Copenhagen snuff, which is intended to go in your lip. This is the fine powderized, they actually call it tobacco flour that is intended to be put inside to, you know, inhaled into your nose. And it's oftentimes flavored, oftentimes menthol. And it's just such a weird thing. And in the United States, we don't do it. Someone sent me a sample of this. I was doing a pipe tobacco trade. And this person said, do you ever do snuff? And I said, no. And he said, oh, I'm going to send you a sample. And so he sent me like a mini tin of McChrystal's snuff. And I got it. I was like, well, might as well. And then I was just immediately like, this is really interesting and cool, and I kind of like it. So I told him, I messaged him right afterwards. I was like, okay, I've done that, and my eyes are burning, and I don't know what I'm doing, and I really think I like it a lot. He was like, that's how it starts for everybody. Yeah, and then it's like anything else where I'm like, oh, this is a new thing. And there's this whole world.
The rabbit hole hath been burrowed.
There's this whole world of things you can get into. Anyway, so I'm not advocating for nicotine use. If you don't use nicotine,
Don't start.
I am a nicotine user, and I use nicotine. If you don't.
I'm heavily dependent on it. It keeps me in my sunny disposition.
With that said, if you're a nicotine user and you've never done it, I would say give it a try. It is kind of interesting. And also, like, kind of fun and maybe even a little romantic. It's weird to think like I'm sticking tobacco up my nose and that's romantic. But then I did it and I was like, oh, this is kind of interesting. And it so the legend is in the 18th and 19th centuries, particularly in Europe, this was like the nicotine delivery of choice for the elite. Now, well out of favor. I think there's only like a small handful of companies in the world that make this stuff.
It's a perfect segue into cocaine for those same people.
Perhaps. Nearly impossible to find unless you know what you're looking for and you know where to find it. However, if you're at all inclined to have some nicotine every once in a while and you've never tried it, I would just say if it doesn't weird you out, even if it does weird you out,
it's kind of a fun delivery mechanism.
Give it a try because I really enjoyed it. And it doesn't smell. You can't, like, the people around you can't smell it. It does smoke. You don't have to spit. There's almost no waste.
It does look interesting.
It does look interesting, right? It's maybe not the most socially.
You can't be very discreet about it.
It's maybe not the most socially acceptable delivery method in 2025, but whatever.
Right? We're pariahs anyway for being Nick fiends.
And yeah, that's right. That's right. So that's my other thing for the week. Specifically, this is McChrystal snuff is what I'll be using. And so I'll make that the stand-in for the other thing. But I think the other thing is just snuff tobacco, because I was like, this is such a fun and interesting different thing that I think most people don't do. And I've always thought it was weird. And then I did it and I was like, well, that's weird, but also kind of rad. And it's inexpensive. Yeah. I think it may be about the cheapest way you can get nicotine. So
ooh, there's Brazilian, British, German, Indian, South African, tobacco, glucose, herbal.
Yeah, it's a whole thing. It's a whole thing. Yeah. So anyway, that's my other thing.
My grandpa, I think he'd use President snuff. That rectangular can looks very familiar.
Andrew was saying in Poland, when he was there, the guys use these little dispensers, and you can knock a little on the back of your hand. And
yeah, the little tin had like a rotating cap. Like if you're sprinkling like Tony C's on something, mm-hmm. like you just rotate it until the holes line up, and just sprinkle a little bump on your hand. And
I do know some people use spoons.
Yeah.
It may be a step too far.
That's the gateway. Like I've already got the spoon.
Andrew, is there anything you want to add before we get going today?
No, I'm all out of things.
Hey, you folks. Thanks for listening to this episode of 40 and 20, the Watch Clicker podcast. Do me a favor, go to our website. It's watchclicker.com. That's where we post articles and reviews and other things about watches, mostly in writing and also in photos. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do that on Instagram at 40and20_watchclicker or at watchclicker. And that's where we're going to post photos and other updates about things we're doing on the website or on the podcast. If you want to support us, and oh boy, we hope you do, you can do that at patreon.com/40and20. Look, guys, that's how we get all the money that we need to keep this thing going. And it's not an insignificant amount of money for hosting. And don't forget to tune back in next Tuesday for another hour of watches, food, drinks, life, and other things we like.
Bye-bye.